Genealogy by Tim, Season 4, Episode 1, recorded January 30th, 2024. Happy New Year to all. It's hard to believe I'm still going here in my fourth season. Genealogy by Tim, podcast where I just talk about my personal family history discoveries in the hopes that you might be inspired or learn something new about my family, the Graham family, Anflick family, and many others. This month, I make contact with the State Archives in Mykolaiv in Ukraine. I do some more transcriptions of mummas, and it's been a while since I've done a grisly death, but I found one, and I'll be filling up the next 20 minutes on Genealogy by Tim. It's been almost 2 years now since Russia invaded Ukraine. I remember posting a couple blogs at the start of the war explaining how the State Archive of Mykolaiv website was down for a little bit and then it came back up. I was a little worried about them. I've got some documents there that I'd quite like to see, and, you know, it's kind of small potatoes compared to the humanitarian risks going on out there in that part of the world, but I would like to see these documents. I've got 15 documents bearing the Anflick name. This is my mother's maiden name. And two of those, I'm 100% certain, are related to me. One of them is the birth record of Louis Anflick, who is the older, likely half-brother of my great-grandfather, Henry Anflick. And his father, they share a mother, Henry and Louis, and Louis's father was named Simon. And I believe all the other children that Henry's mother, Katie, had all took the Anflick name, even though Simon, as far as I know, only was the father of Louis, and Simon's death record is also at the State Archives of Mykolaiv in Ukraine. And, you know, a couple years ago when the conflict was new, I was posting stories, you know, hey, there's battles going on in the Mykolaiv area. The Ukrainian troops were holding back the Russian forces valiantly. And then the news kind of stopped coming, kind of faded away from the limelight there. Until recently, a cousin of mine, a descendant of Louis, contacted me through the Facebook group, the Descendants of Katie Anflick Facebook group, and he asked me if I had ever heard back from the State Archives of Mykolaiv. I guess I should back up a minute. Just prior to the invasion, I sent an email to the State Archives of Mykolaiv asking if it might be able to see copies of these records that I happen to know were there. The records are indexed at the Roots to Roots Foundation website. That was just prior to the invasion. I sent the archive an email, and they didn't respond. And I kind of figured that they were either prepping for the worst or perhaps they just didn't respond to my English language email. Maybe if they see it's not Ukrainian, they might disregard it. But that spurred some interest in me. Maybe do something a little bit different from the mumma research that I've been doing these past several months. And I had heard, now I'm teaching, I teach in the School District of Philadelphia, and in one of my professional developments, a facilitator mentioned that to help serve our foreign language students better, you can use ChatGPT, the AI chatbot, to translate things. And they said, well, it works a little better than Google Translate. I haven't yet done a side-by-side comparison, but that's what this facilitator said. So I said, well, let me give that a try. Let's take my email. Let's tell ChatGPT to translate from English to Ukrainian my request to see these records. And I just did that. It was a couple weeks ago I did that. And guess what? I got a response. Okay? They are up and running at the State Archive of Mykolaiv. Despite everything that's going on, I guess, you know, at some point, you know, there's war around, but at some point you just gotta, you know, get back and get back to life here. So that's what they're doing at the archive. And they wrote back, and what they said, I had to feed their response back through ChatGPT to get it in English, and they said, well, we have this form that we want you to fill out, and we want you to send a copy of a document of citizenship. I was like, okay, like I've seen this before. You copy your ID and you send it off to, you know, State Archives of Pennsylvania, wherever. So I did these things. They also said, well, of course, there's going to be a fee, so you'll have to, you know, pay for that. I was like, okay, sounds good. And the form they sent me was in Microsoft Word format. Typically, these things get sent out in PDF. But in Microsoft Word format, it's tough to type in there and keep the format of it. So I printed the form out on paper, and I used ChatGPT, translated the things I wanted to translate, and then handwritten the requests. Scanned them back into my scanner, scanned my Pennsylvania state ID, and emailed it back to State Archives. And they wrote back and they said, I'm sorry, what did you say was your citizenship? And I was like, oh, I emailed them back. I says, Pennsylvania. I live in Jenkintown. It's just north of Philadelphia. And I highlighted and hyperlinked Pennsylvania and Jenkintown and Philadelphia. So send them the Wikipedia, the Ukrainian version of Wikipedia with a nice map of about, you know, my whereabouts. And they wrote back and said, oh, okay, received. That was about a week ago. And I'm still awaiting the reply. Every day, I open up my mail app. There's always a notification on there. I was like, is it them? Is it them? I'm looking for that Cyrillic writing. And I haven't seen it. But when I get a response back from the archive, I will definitely tell you what success I had, if any. The first record I requested was the birth record of Louis Anflick, my great-grandfather's older half-brother. If that goes through, I will be requesting the death certificate of his father, Simon, who died, I believe, in his 20s after Lewis was born. So I'd be interested to see cause of death. I'd be interested to see occupation. And any other clues as to, you know, what is the relationships between Lewis's father and my great-grandfather, Henry's father. That should be very interesting. Now, interestingly, in the process of all this, the archive wrote back and said, we need to see your documents of citizenship. And I thought they meant Ukrainian citizenship. I thought you had to be a citizen of Ukraine to make the request. So I already went ahead and looked up some legacy tree genealogists who perhaps helped me obtain these documents. But then the archive said, no, you don't have to be a citizen of Ukraine. Just send us the citizenship of wherever you are. I was like, that's weird. Why do they need to know that? And it kind of became clear a little bit later in the message thread that they're not serving Russian nationals and Belarusian nationals at this time. So they just wanted to make sure I wasn't a member of the invading army's country. They don't want to serve them. But, you know, I can understand. But once they were satisfied that I was American, they went ahead and said, okay, received your request. And yeah, it's been a week. I'm not sure how long it should take, but every morning I open up that email, and yeah, when I find out, when I hear back, I will let you know what I find. The MUMMA Transcription Project continues, and this is the project in which I borrow data, vast amounts of data, from the homepage of Doug and Joan MUMMA, and incorporate the information into my own family tree at webtrees.genealogybytim.com. And it's been a long time. This is a big project. And I remember working on it during last year's spring break. Okay, and then when I got back to school after last year's spring break, they were painting my classroom. And during the painting, I was displaced and relocated to the computer lab. And for another week, I just told the students, hey, work on some computer work. I'm going to sit here, and if you need me, I'm here. Work on computer work. We have computer work for you. And I just sat there and did more genealogy for another week, getting these MUMMA names, dates, and people into my family tree. So it's been a long time coming, and I have a couple more lines that I want to work on. So let's start at the top here. There was Peter MUMMA. Peter came over to the colonies from Germany in 1748, and he had relatives who came before him. There was a Leonard MUMMA and a Jacob MUMMA. Both of them came 10 or 15 years before Peter did. Peter's my ancestor. But according to the Doug and Joan Momo website, the relationship between Peter, Leonard, and Jacob isn't entirely clear. If you look at the family search family tree, some people have put in relationships for them, but the documentation is scant on those relationships. So I'm not going to delve too deeply into those until a relationship is established. I'm working just on the Peter Mama line. And Peter had 6 children: Johannes, Philip, Frederick, Peter Jr., who was my ancestor, Barbara, and Elizabeth. And of those 6 children, I've completed 5 of the lines. And by complete, I mean transcribe the data that's on the mama.org website, which is extensive but not complete. So Philip, Frederick, Peter, Barbara, and Elizabeth are all done. Only Johannes remains. And Johannes himself had 5 children: John, Christian, Catherine, Elizabeth, and Jacob B. Of those lines, I have finished John, Catherine, and Elizabeth. The Christian Mama line and the Jacob Mama line remain to be transcribed. And I'm looking at those lines, and they are extensive as well. And it will take me several months. You'll hear about this again next month. Okay. The Christian Mama line looks like it is the line that moved out to Ohio, the one that I haven't yet worked on. My uncle, who lives in the Dayton area, mentioned seeing a Mama Realty and Auctioneers business in Springfield, and he asked me if we're related to them in any way, and I went right to Doug Mama's website and was able to pull up the relationship. And I said, well, when I make it out there to visit you in the Dayton area, we will investigate this more. We'll visit all the cemeteries and do all the fun stuff. So he can be included in my family history project from out there, out west in Ohio. That, I believe, is the Christian Mama line. And then after that, there is a Jacob Mama line as well, which looks like it's remaining largely in the Lancaster area. A lot of the work that I've done over the past month has been in the Harrisburg area, which will be interesting because my girlfriend's mother lives in the Harrisburg area, so every time we go visit her, I can break off and do a little bit of my own stuff, photographing the gravestones and whatnot. So yeah, that's it. I mean, the project is winding down. Got a couple more lines. They're pretty long, may take a couple months. But then after the Mama project is done, I can sit back and look at all the new entries I have in my family tree that could use some additional documentation. And also, if I want to, I can put the Mamas aside for a little bit and start working on other lines. Now, if you go to my website, webtrees.genealogybytim.com, and look at the surname count, you will see, as of today, Mama tops the list at 497. Graham, my own surname, is in second place at 128. Mama, with a W at the end, is 102. So we're at about, 600 Mamas. And it's like, wow, this is like the Mama tree now. But I want it to be the Graham tree, so I'm going to have to fill in some more Grahams. It's going to inspire me to go and work even harder on my existing lines and fill in those names. Because I like Mamas, but I like Grahams also. It's not like, Mama's not like my identity. But there just happens to be a lot of information out there on the Mamas. Many thanks to Doug and Joan Mama for that. The project continues, and next month you'll hear about the progress. I don't think it'll be done by next month. This may take a little while. It may last into the spring, but we'll see. For my final segment of the day, it's been a while, folks, but I found another grisly death. And when I read this, I was like, ooh, should I make a segment of that? And I was like, yep, it's just that kind of thing. It's been a while. In a family tree of, I think we're pushing 5,000 people, and about 4,000 of those people are from the Mamas and their descendants. But, you know, we get that many people in a family tree, you come across some stuff. You come across some stuff, and you're like, ooh, okay. So that happened. This one is, picture it, Harrisburg, metropolitan area, 1905. We have the story of Herbert L. Mama. He was born July 4th, 1882, died untimely on August 2nd, 1905, at the age of 23 years. And sometimes you see this happen in action movies. Sometimes you see this happen in cartoons. I didn't know if it ever really happened to a person, but apparently it did happen to my fourth cousin, three times removed, Herbert Luther Mumma. And I'm going to read the clipping from newspapers.com. And they have up on there the Harrisburg Daily Independent from Wednesday, August 2nd, 1905. Listen to this one. Second fatality at Cinder Bridge. Brakeman H.L. Mumma of West Fairview killed this morning. He forgot to stoop down. That's the subtitle there. Head struck string piece, fracturing skull and killing him instantly. Now, I don't know exactly what a string piece is. Any bridge engineers out there can enlighten me on that. But fatality at Cinder Bridge. Head struck string piece, fracturing skull, killing him instantly after he, quote, forgot to stoop down. Standing on a boxcar of a freight train moving westward under the overhead Cinder Bridge at Paxton Furnaces this morning, brakeman H.L. Mumma of the Pennsylvania Railroad of West Fairview was instantly killed. His head came in contact with the bridge and the skull was fractured. With his brains oozing from a ghastly wound, brakeman Mumma fell face downward upon the top of the boxcar as the car passed under the bridge. When found by members of his crew, he was lifeless. Word was sent to the station master's office at Union Station of the Pennsylvania Railroad, and an engine and crew was sent down to bring the body to the Pennsylvania Railroad dead house. With great difficulty, the members of the crew got the corpse from the top of the boxcar. It was placed upon the engine and brought to the railroad company's morgue. Coroner Krause was notified and will conduct an investigation this evening. This is the second man killed at this bridge within the past 3 months. So, brakeman Herbert L. Mumma, standing on top of a boxcar as it was traveling, hit his head on a bridge after he forgot to stoop down. Now, this incident was reported in several local newspapers, and they all used that turn of phrase, brains oozing. I think this particular clipping gave the most information. But that was pretty sensational, and apparently he was the second guy that this happened to that year. Interestingly, I found it interesting that the railroad company had its own morgue. Now, there is a Pennsylvania Railroad Historical Society that meets somewhere around here. I would like to ask them about this. The Pennsylvania Railroad Dead House, like they had their own morgue, I guess. Now, I have had other ancestors. My direct ancestor, my grandmother's grandfather, was killed in a collision when two cars came together. He was between them. I have not found a clipping of that with grisly details, but Pennsylvania Railroad apparently had its own morgue because I guess people died a lot on the railroad. It's just one of those jobs where, I don't know, danger. So at the age of 23, Herbert L. Mumma was killed on August 2nd, 1905. Now, he left behind an unmarried pregnant girlfriend who the following April gave birth to a son and named him Herbert Jr. That girlfriend's name was Margaret Swigert. Young Herbert Mumma, unfortunately, did not reach the age of one. He was born March 18, 1906, and died March 11, 1907. Cause of death there was listed as catarrhal pneumonia. The unmarried girlfriend, Maggie Swigert, went on to marry a George W. Coleman before the end of 1907. She herself would die of a paralytic ileus in 1932 at the age of 46. So, several people died before their time in this tragic story of Herbert L. Mumma, his girlfriend, Maggie Swigert, their unborn child, Herbert Jr. But these are some of the things you find when you fill a tree up with 5,000 names. These are some of the things that happen. Now, when I saw the cause of death of Herbert Mumma, the first thing I thought was Speed, that movie Speed with Keanu Reeves and Dennis Hopper, and what happened to Dennis Hopper. If you know the scene, you know the scene. But that's the first thing I thought when I heard about Herbert Mama hitting the bridge. But then I was like, didn't I just see this in like an animated movie or a cartoon or something where they were on top of the train running away from the bridge and then eventually they stooped down and didn't die? But yeah, I guess these things happen. These things happen, and when they do happen, they are taken to the Pennsylvania Railroad's in-house morgue. But anyway, yeah. So 2024 is well underway. We've got our first episode of the year under our belt. Be looking forward to the second. I'll let you know if the State Archives of Mykolaiv in Ukraine gets back to me. I'll let you know how I'm progressing with the mummies, and if anything else bizarre happens, you'll definitely hear it here. A quick shout out to Scott Fisher, the famous host of the Extreme Genes podcast, which ended its 10 or 11 year run at the end of December last year. That was one of the main inspirations for this podcast. And in addition to that, Lisa Louise Cook, I don't believe she has posted a podcast for a good 6 months. If you go to her YouTube page, she has a couple videos up in the meantime. She said she's been taking a break for health reasons, and best wishes to her. These are inspirations of mine, genealogy podcasters from whom we either haven't heard from in a while or who have gone into retirement. So best wishes to Scott Fisher and Lisa Louise Cook. And that, you know, for genealogy podcasting, I'm kind of left with genealogy guys. I haven't been so much of a listener of their program, and the main thing is, I'll tell you, an hour for a podcast is a little beyond my attention span. That's just me personally. I like to keep this show to around the 20-minute mark if possible. But Genealogy Guys is the longest-running, continuously-running podcast, and in the absence of Scott Fisher and Lisa Louise Cook, Genealogy Guys, they're still there. All right, so check them out, and I'm going to sign off for this month, and I'll talk to you again next month. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.